listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Sterling.
And I am Paul Strolley.
And you are listening to State of the Art. And we would like to thank our presenting sponsor, Breakdown Services. Breakdown Services is the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit them at BreakdownExpress.com.
Our thanks also go out to PerformingArtsLive.com for their support of our live arts calendar.
And Anderson Trophy, Paul. Anderson Trophy Company.
Not the Anderson Trophy.
Yes, that one. Anderson Trophy Company of North Hollywood joins us for today's show. And since it is the season for awards, what better sponsor to have than one that makes some of the most beautiful awards and trophies for any and every reason, be it the arts, sports, or for corporate events. Anderson has been providing quality trophies for decades. For more information about their products and how you can benefit by having the best for less, call Anderson Trophy Company at 818-765-3770.
And also, Michael, I want to say that I saw the trophies that they did for you for your
LA's Next Great Stage Dive. Yes.
At Sterling's Upstairs.
Fantastic.
And they were beautiful. Coming up, we'll be talking with Davis Gaines, who performed the title role in Andrew Lloyd Webber's The Phantom of the Opera more than 2,000 times. I don't want to do something that feels good 2,000 times during his run on Broadway. And here in Los Angeles, where he remains LA's longest-running Phantom, welcome to State of the Arts, Davis Gaines.
Thank you, Greg. Wow.
Yeah.
What a big crowd you have today.
Yes.
Great crowd.
We take him with us everywhere.
We do.
And also with us today, Paul, is another star from The Great White Way and from television and film as well. He's also co-director of the current critically acclaimed classic farce, Room Service, at Hollywood's Open Fist Theater Company. Ron Orbach is here. Welcome, Ron. I understand.
Oh, wow. I like that.
Well, I thought you
would. I like the rim shot.
I thought you would.
Nice touch.
I got a better one for you. I'm sorry.
I can't wait.
I got a better one. Michael, complete the intro. I got a better one.
Your life in your hands coming on this show.
Ron, I understand that we'll be receiving a call from your room service counterpart, Bjorn Johnson, a little later in the program.
Yeah, about 4:30 he's going to join us, but he gets an intro too.
Okay. Like that.
Nice,
nice.
Huh?
That's nice. Nice. Yeah. Boy, no expense spared.
None here.
None at all. So, Michael, how was your week? How was your, before we get to our lovely and talented guests, how was your week?
The week was good. We had a great show at the Supper Club last night. I have a Supper Club, gentlemen, called Sterling's Upstairs of Otello's in Studio City, and it's dedicated to people like you, Davis, the best of Broadway stars in concert
fantastic.
And intimate club setting like a Broadway.
Maybe I should come over and hang out sometime.
I would love it. You can hang out on our stage.
Okay,
that's what you
fantastic.
Could do,
right? Yeah, let's do it.
But we had a lovely act in last night, which was Suzanne Petrella. She did fantastic. And then, of course, today, the big day, guys.
Yeah.
The Valentine's
Day. Valentine's.
The Valentine's
Day.
Right. Oh, I forgot.
And you know what I was thinking about?
What's up,
Paul? I was thinking about, remember when we were kids and everybody got a Valentine from you?
When we were kids or when you were kids or when I was
kids? Come on. Yeah. When we were all kids.
That's
these
not,
guys
that's
included.
Not nice.
I mean, no, everybody got a Valentine, right?
Yeah.
To your best friend, you say, to Nick,
right.
Nice pants.
Yeah, you had to bring them for the
love life.
The class.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So what's happened over the years that it's not so simple? You used to buy those little cards. They were very thin and just and you gave one to an envelope. It was to everybody. What happened over the years?
I'll tell you exactly what happened. I saw it in the LA Weekly today because Michael and I always meet at this little diner, Jinky's, right nearby the studio before we do our show. Open the LA Weekly, the Valentine's Week LA Weekly. This leaps out at me from the LA Weekly. I should memorialize that ass, my lover's ass. Well, now you can. Email us your favorite image and your lover's name, and for just $99.95, including shipping and handling, we'll ship the artwork to you. Here's my favorite part. 24 by 36.
Oh, wow.
Black and white or sepia artwork, my lover's ass. The best part, too, not even a website. It's myloversass@gmail.com. So don't even have a website.
Well, if their ass is 24 by 36, you're in trouble right there.
Well, the big joke here is, if you hang that on the wall, wouldn't everyone just go, hey, that picture frame's cracked? Good night, everybody!
Thank you.
Good night. I'm here all week.
Oh, my.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, my wife, Monica, Monica, I mean, I got to say, Monica has the great bottom of the ages. She has a beautiful derriere. But I don't know if I want to see it over the fireplace at 36 inches wide.
Yeah.
So this is the descent of Valentine's Day right here, pal. I'm telling you.
Wow.
Well, and so speaking of the lovely Monica, and she is lovely, what are you doing for that lady tonight?
We don't do anything for Valentine's Day because we both worked in restaurants for so long, the holidays are tainted for us. Yeah. Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, New Year's Eve, we stay home. Those are amateur nights.
Really? Really? Yeah. Gentlemen, what about yourself?
Any plans?
Similar. My wife and I will...
this is Ron Orbach.
Hi. Yeah, I'll probably we'll probably get some pizza and, you know, just hang.
Going
just
all
the
out?
Two of us.
Yeah.
Just
okay.
Go out for pizza, take a picture of her ass.
We won't even go out.
You won't even go out?
No, we'll order it in.
Oh, wow.
Really? Yeah. No, we don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, we like the same thing, New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Do the same thing.
Yeah.
Mr. Gaines?
Well, this is weird, but I'm taking my friend Heidi to.
just spit it out, Davis.
Davis is sweating. I think I should mention this. Davis.
To Michael Bolton and Kenny G.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Oh,
I mean, I just happened to meet Michael Bolton recently, so he invited me to come to his concert tonight at Universal. So
really?
I couldn't say.
That's such
no,
a cool.
No. No.
That's such a coincidence because I actually have a photo of Michael Bolton's ass.
Do you?
Yes.
Nice.
Over his
there's
fire.
There's the rim shot. 24x36.
Come on, you were late.
I know, I was.
I mean, you know, when someone
I was hoping for a laugh there, I think.
You know, when someone invites you, so that would be wonderful. You know, and so I guess we'll go and see it and go backstage and say hello.
That would be a romantic evening. Oh, that would be a romantic evening.
I guess.
Yeah. It's a nice way to spend the evening.
Don't you think?
I think so.
I'm sure it'll be a fine concert.
I'm sure it will be.
Yeah, the two of those guys. Why not? Why not? Yeah.
And there's tickets still available.
I'm sure it will be.
Oh, my. This is scary, Paul.
Well, I just didn't. I didn't want to. After he
I
said.
Hope Michael's not listening.
After he said, I'm sure it'll be a lovely evening. I didn't want to use this sound effect, but I will now. I'm sure it'll be a lovely evening.
You guys.
I'm sorry. We have five sound effects. It's a low budget show.
It really. But well, listen, so, I think we should get on to.
Let's talk to
our
guests.
Please, I beg of you.
Guests. Yes.
Well, as promised, ladies and gentlemen, and Paul and Ron, he was the masked man in one of musical theater's most extraordinary and breathtaking hits. He serenaded audiences in over 2,000 performances of Andrew Lloyd Webber's Phantom of the Opera, both on Broadway and here in Los Angeles. He'll be headlining, his own concert, Music of the Night, this Saturday evening, February 19th, at Glendale's beautiful Alex Theater in benefit of SOS Mentor, in the fight against childhood obesity. But Paul, before we introduce our guest properly, let's give our audience a little sampling of the other side of Davis Gaines.
Wow. These were the MP3s.
What good are words, I say to you? They can't convey to you what's in my heart. If you could hear instead the things I've left unsaid. Time after time, I tell myself that I'm so lucky to be loving you.
Davis Gaines, ladies and gentlemen, in the studio.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
That's good.
Nice.
And that's nice.
Because I'd like to go hear him sing on the evening of Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Very lovely.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be there
next
this
year.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Now, this Saturday.
February 19th.
It'll
be a lovely gift to give your wife go this Saturday.
Actually,
how about that?
Good point.
Right?
And it benefits a good cause.
Absolutely. 100%. Davis Gaines, thank you for coming in.
Oh, it's great to be here.
And
thank you.
And seeing us. And, you know, this man has, of course he's known for the Phantom of the Opera, but he's also done so many other wonderful things in his career, and including something that with a lady that is dear to our heart, Paul's and mine, Miss Carol Channing.
Ah, yes.
Co-starred with Carol in Hello, Dolly.
Really?
Years ago. Yep.
In the Cornelius role?
I did.
Really?
Yes, Cornelius Heckel.
Cornelius Heckel. Did it in high school.
I love it.
Did it in high school. That's
Carol was our second guest on this program.
Ah, she's great. She's so good.
She is amazing.
And she's remained a really good friend and dear friend, and I'm going to see her on the 21st.
And a firecracker. We weren't really prepared for it. We had her as a call-in, and it was just like, she's unstoppable.
She's
how
amazing.
She gets that energy. She's just like,
and apparently, this thing we're talking about Monday night, the 21st, is a, I think it's an Actors Fund benefit at the Pantages. And
it is.
It's her 90th birthday.
Yes.
And a bunch of people are getting together and performing. I think she's going to perform wearing the same dress she wore in 1963, Hello Dolly dress.
Oh, my gosh.
It's amazing.
And her
it's
husband,
amazing.
Too, is just a,
sweetheart.
Just a sweet guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, just and very
That's
civic-minded.
And story
yeah.
of life.
Yeah, it's a great tale, their whole, yeah. How they came together.
It's very sweet.
Yeah.
Very
it was funny. We had her on, and she's internet radio, I think, was a slightly new thing for her. We had her on for about 3 minutes, and then she just came back with, "This is wonderful. When are we going to be on the radio?" I was like, "Carol, you've been on for about 3 minutes."
She's going, "Oh, hello."
It's priceless.
Yeah, she's great. She asked me to spend the weekend with her once in Palm Springs, just the two of us at her. We had a blast. I have some great Carol Channing stories, but we don't have time for it. I'll come back. And
oh, okay.
Yeah,
we have time.
Please, anytime.
Yes, definitely.
You're welcome back here. Well, tell us a little bit about your concert, and that's why I said of the other side of Davis Gaines, because everyone associates you with, of course, Music of the Night and those wonderful songs from Phantom that we all love to hear you sing. But when I got sent these audio files on you, I loved this particular number.
Oh, thanks. Great. I'll get you that CD, too. I didn't know you didn't have it.
Thank you. No, it's nice to hear that other side. So will you be doing that type of thing?
Definitely. We're going to have a piano, bass, drums, and a woodwind sax guy. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do a lot of the Sammy Kahn songs that we did that thing. And plus the Broadway standards and
you gotta do that.
Stuff that I do. Yeah.
And what a wonderful organization, Davis, for you to
really
be involved
is.
With. Tell us a little bit.
I've been involved for like 3 or 4 years. I first got involved. It's a mentoring organization for high school kids in L.A., I got involved as a volunteer mentor first, and what we do is there's a 5-week program where the adult mentors meet with the high school kids after school, and we teach them about proper nutrition and exercise, you know, all things they don't know really about eating properly and what the right choices are. And then after the first 5 weeks that the adults go, then the high school kids take what we taught them and go to the middle and elementary school kids, and they become the mentors to the little kids.
Wow.
And so we pass
That's
on the
true.
Information. They take the information home to their families, and they start shopping differently and cooking differently. So it's really been great. And then after I did that for a few times, they asked me to join the board. So I've actually been on the board for a couple of years. And they had one meeting about 6 months ago. They said, "We want to have a fundraiser. Would you put that together for us?" And then it turns out that I'm not only the co-chairman of the event, I'm also the entertainment. So
it's funny how that worked out.
Yeah, right? So it's going
to
be great.
It's
just going to be a fun evening of Broadway tunes and standards, and we have a surprise guest to sing with me toward the end of the show, maybe a duet or two. And we have some great raffle prizes and really great things. We have a Kobe Bryant autographed basketball to raffle off, and it's going to be fun, really fun.
And at a beautiful theater, one of our nice gems in the city, out at the Alex Theater in Glendale there.
And you've mentioned that before in past shows, Michael.
Yes.
That venue. Yes.
Yeah, it's a beautiful
It's
space.
A gorgeous theater, 1,400 seats, really beautiful. Yeah.
And it's historic.
Very.
You know, very historic theater.
And I should mention, too, huge problem, childhood obesity. My wife, Monica, has done work with a group in L.A. called HEAC, Healthy Eating Active Communities. And it's one of the things that they address, especially with lower-income families.
Exactly.
It's huge because the accessibility to good food for those kids.
It's
a lot
not
of times,
around where they
no,
live.
No, some of these people don't live within, you know, a convenient distance to...
Exactly.
You can't believe that you could live in Los Angeles and not have easy access to a supermarket. But they
that
do. That happens. You know, when you're eating
in
at these places.
In a big way, especially in downtown L.A.
Very much so.
Really.
Very much so. So
and
applaud.
It's great. Great. And we teach them how, you know, things that, like how to read a label, for instance, on a package. They don't know what that means and how much sugar is in a can of soda. They just don't get that until we teach them. It's great.
You know, I noticed also that in the information here that's been provided to us that this program, Shape Up program, has expanded to 26 elementary, middle, and high schools in the Los Angeles Unified School District.
Yeah, we have plans to expand further. That's the purpose of this whole fundraiser thing.
And so you're covering already 2,000 students participating in this, which is fantastic. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you should pay attention to this. I'm sure you, many of you have children out there that probably face this problem, and there's a way to get rid of that. And go to visit this website, sosmentor.org, for plenty of information about their wonderful program and also about the performance that Mr. Gaines will be doing for them at the Alex Theater, which, Paul, is coming up, as I said earlier, Saturday on February 19th. And the event will also feature drawings, as he said, for valuable prizes. And you can go to the Alex Theater's website at alextheater, that's R-E at the end of theater, .org, alextheater.org, or by calling 818-243-2539.
And I'd also like to say, as a special Valentine's Day present for our listening audience, we're giving away two pairs of tickets to see Davis Gaines in concert this Saturday for
that event
at the Alex Theater in the benefit for that group. And also, we're going to give away a couple of CDs, aren't we? We're going to give we're giving away the tickets.
The tickets.
And this is how you get the tickets. My apologies. I have Davis brought in some CDs, and I just got it in my hot little hand, and I want everyone to have one. The way to get your tickets is to send us an email at stateofthearts.la@gmail.com. That's stateofthearts.la@gmail.com. In honor of Valentine's Day, the 2nd for the month and the 14th for the day, those will be the people we will choose. The 2nd email we get and the 14th email we receive will get tickets to this event. That email address again, stateofthearts.la@gmail.com.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Definitely.
Davis, take everybody back to the beginning of your career. Tell us how this amazing career that you've had started. You know, what was the first moment that you knew that you wanted to do what you're doing
now? I think when I was born. I don't know. I grew up in Orlando, Florida.
Yes.
And back then, you know, Disney came when I was, you know, in high school. But there was nothing in Orlando before that. And I just somehow knew that I wanted to be an actor. And I didn't really know how to do it. But I just had that drive, and I guess the drive, I just had the desire to do that. And I joined a children's theater group. I had an amazing drama teacher in junior high school that really changed the way I was thinking in my life, really. And then that was my path. And then I went to Florida State University and majored in theater, and then went to New York City. I didn't know anybody in New York, but I knew I had to be there, and that's where I had to go. And just after college, went to New York and then started, you know, pounding the pavement and working and getting jobs, and you then get your equity card and you get your agent, and then you keep doing it. And that's how I did it. I just worked hard.
And then when did you make the
move? It's a shame it didn't work out for you.
Well, you never know. But
it was just Michael and I were commenting before that we were hoping that your resume was available in a leather bound volume.
Oh, stop it. That's silly. No. I really worked hard. I mean, it wasn't easy. Not this business is not easy, as you know. So it's just I just worked hard, and I think the more you work, people see your work and get to know you, and then they, you know, it comes full circle, people. You know,
and you've worked with so many
incredible
people like Liza Minnelli and Lenny Kazan, and I actually did see you do Parade out here.
Oh yeah, it was fun.
At the Taper, which was a wonderful production.
Very dark.
Fantastic production. But did you see it, Ron?
I did. Oh my God.
Oh, did you see Parade?
I had a bunch of friends in that show, and I loved it. I loved it so much. You guys were great.
It was a great cast.
Enjoyed it.
And I've been lucky to work with. My first job in a Broadway show was with Richard Burton, playing in Camelot with Richard Burton. To be able to, a guy from Orlando, Florida, going to New York and getting to know and hang out with and become friends with, but more importantly, watch him work every night was a master class, and it was amazing.
I'm sure.
And then of course Carol and Alexis Smith and all the people, and, you know, Tommy Toon and Hal Prince and all the directors I've. And George Abbott.
Yes.
I mean, he directed me in a production of Damn Yankees when he was 99 years old. So.
Oh, my goodness.
It was an amazing experience.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ron, you just looked like you had a George Abbott.
Well, only because I'm the co-director of Room Service.
Oh, of course.
Which was a George Abbott-directed play originally.
Gosh.
And so I've been reading a lot about Mr. Abbott. And
yeah, I knew him.
Fascinated
amazing,
to talk to you
amazing
the Six
about
Degrees.
Him.
The
yes,
six degrees we
it.
Talked about.
Yeah.
It's funny that you say that too, Davis, because it's one of the recurring things we've had since Michael and I have started this show, is that we more often than not we hear about the education that people get are always from those people. That it's not like you said, it's a master class.
It is.
You know, just
it really
you know,
is.
Being on the boards
been
with these
so
people.
Lucky. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And Sweeney Todd is another show that you did, which is an amazing vehicle for
I've
you.
It was great. I first started out here with Reprise production of Sweeney Todd at the Amundsen, and I think Kelsey Grammer was Sweeney, and Neil Patrick Harris was Tobias. I was Anthony, the sailor. Mm-hmm. And that from that production, it blossomed into a production with the New York Philharmonic, and then to the San Francisco Symphony, where it won Best Emmy for Best Classical Programming with Patti LuPone and George Hearn. And then I've since played, in the last couple of years, played Sweeney Todd himself, which is a incredible thing with opposite Faith Prince and right. with Orlando. Oh, wow. It's really fun. So, yeah, Sweeney Todd goes back. I love it.
That's the meatball musical role.
It really
ages,
is. It's
though.
The best.
That really is.
It's
that's
the best.
Just like, you know, that and Shay in
Evita.
Yeah, those are the two.
What did you think of the film? I'm curious.
You know, I've only seen snippets. I sat through the whole thing, as is with the Phantom movie. I never saw that either. So,
I think we have an opinion.
I'm actually a big, big fan of Sweeney. It's on my Mount Rushmore of greatest musicals. I liked the movie very much in many ways, but I missed the comedy. I thought Helena Bonham Carter was wonderful, but it wasn't funny. Yeah. And I think the show.
Is.
The piece
it needs that.
Needs it because it's so dark that right. without that I felt that was missing. And I thought it was surprising that Tim Burton, a guy who should know his way around some comedy,
right.
would have included that more. But
yeah,
that,
if you don't, if it's a dark comedy, if you don't, have, it's a if you have a dark comedy and you don't have the comedy, it's just dark.
There you go.
Good point.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just keep reading through your bio and I'm just. Stunned at what you haven't done.
Oh.
And my goodness, certainly singing.
No, that's the last page. Look ahead. Ahead to the last page. There it is. Listen.
No, he has sung for 5 U.S. presidents and with every major symphony orchestra in North America, including the New York Pops at Carnegie Hall and the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra at the Hollywood Bowl. So it doesn't get any
cool.
better than that, does it?
I have some good president stories, too. But H.W. Bush, number 41, invited me to sing for Barbara Bush's 75th surprise birthday party in Kenny Bunkport. So, of course, I went.
That's a risky surprise party, isn't it? 75th?
Well, she wasn't so surprised. of course, I had to go. So it was an amazing experience. I have great stories about that whole thing. But the next day, they invited all the out-of-town guests to come to their house for coffee and donuts. And so there I went. Of course, wouldn't pass that up.
Yeah.
And the first person I saw going in was Colin Powell. And Davis, good job last night. And I said, well, thank you, General. Thank you. And the president goes, there's coffee and donuts in the kitchen. Go help yourself. And then here I was in the dining room just hanging out. And George W. walked in. And he was, at that point, it was the year 2000. And he was running for president. He was still governor. And I don't know if I can tell this story on the air.
Of course
you
can.
So he came over and I said, good morning, Governor. How are you doing now? Feeling fine. Ran for a couple hours after church. Feeling good. I said, well, that's great. That's great. And we started talking and he says, can I ask you a question? And I said, of course. He goes, can you learn how to sing or is it something you're born with? And I said, well, I think one can learn to sing, but you need to have some kind of musicality or something. You can learn to sing. Long pause. He said, I don't know shit about singing. But you probably got the best voice in America. And I said, is that a compliment? He goes, oh, no, that's a problem. It's powerful.
Yeah.
Anyway, went on. Well, thank you. And then he goes, why don't you stay for lunch? And I went, oh, no, because everybody was gone except for me and the Butch family by this point. Right. And I said, oh, no, I think I've overstayed my welcome. And he goes, oh, no, stay for lunch. If you're going to pick a day to eat here, this is the day because we're having tacos. So I said, I would love to stay for lunch with you guys, but I think you probably need to go ask your mom if I could stay. And he goes, you're right. Wait right here. So he went into the kitchen to ask Barbara Bush if I could stay for lunch. And I waited there. He comes back out of the kitchen with 2 thumbs up and said, You're in. So I was his best buddy for the whole day. It was crazy.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, talk about pinching yourself.
I don't know shit about singing. And little do we know that he's only scratching the surface.
of what he didn't know shit about.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Clearly.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Well, for those of us who do know about singing, again, ladies and gentlemen, it's your opportunity this Saturday, February 19th at 8 p.m. to see Davis Gaines in concert in his show Music of the Night at the Alex Theater, once again in Glendale. And for tickets, you can visit alextheater.org. Or call 818-243-2539.
And to check out the other many performances and or events throughout Southern California, please visit our friends at performingartslive.com. They're great supporters of our arts calendar here.
Indeed.
And Michael, before we actually talk to Ron and Bjorn, who will be joining us shortly, but before we talk to them, you saw Spring Awakening.
I did. I went to the opening, Paul, last week at the Pantages Theater. Have you seen it? Did you see it, Davis, in New York?
I saw it at the Amundsen.
At the Amundsen, the first time around. This is the second national tour. Ron, did you
see it? I've never seen it, no.
You know, I went, willfully, certainly, I wanted to see it, but I was not expecting to love it.
Mm.
And that's what I did. I actually loved this musical. It was way beyond what I had been hearing about, and it's this fusion, you know, between a story that was written in 1891. It was a Frank Wedekind play, and it is, of course, about a combination of sexuality, morality, and rock and roll that has captivated, you know, the country here, this play. 8 Tony Awards it won in 2007, and clearly I see why. First of all, not only was the story was something I think we've all seen before, but it was done with such great style, and the direction and the staging of the show, and these young people, I mean, they're in their early 20s, doing these amazing, you know, performances, vocally and the acting and the brilliant direction to the show. And my God, the lighting was spectacular, which is a huge part of this production. Unfortunately, it was only here at the Pantages 1 week, so it closed on Sunday. Mm. And it's touring and fast tour through the country for several months and playing, I think, those kinds of engagements about a week. But boy, oh boy, if it's coming your way, ladies and gentlemen, make a point to go out and see this show. It is something that you will long remember. And check it out. Go to their website. You can do that at springawakeningontour.com and get the whole tour schedule. But I urge you to see it.
Okay, definitely.
Yes.
I'm sorry that I missed it while it was here. We have someone calling in right now, so I'm going to take that call right now. I believe this is Bjorn Johnson, the co-director of Room Service with Ron. Bjorn, are you with us?
This is me.
Yeah, you are there. Beautiful. Well, let me give you both a proper intro here. In studio with us today, the co-directors of Room Service, yet another hit, and a string of vintage classic hits presented by Hollywood's Open Fist Theater Company. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome, if you would, co-directors Ron Orbach in studio and Bjorn Johnson on the telephone. Let's give them some applause, shall we?
Nice.
Yeah.
How about that stuff, huh, Bjorn?
Yeah. Bjorn, they said...
Very nice. How'd you get all those people in the crammed out little studio?
They weren't cheap. They said you were a fool to dream, I tell you. We're going to start... Bjorn, stay with us there. We're going to start with Ronnie, and then we're going to go to you. And obviously, we're going to...
How dare you?
He's used to this.
Room service. But I think it's interesting to... Before we actually talk about the production, I find it interesting that it's a co-directed comedy, which I think is something that people don't usually encounter. Ron, you want to tell how that came about, or the origin of that?
Well, Bjorn has been directing shows at the Open Fist with that company. He directed a very successful production of Light Up the Sky a few seasons ago. And so they've kind of made a habit of doing these 30s screwball comedies. They also did Stage Door, I think, a season ago. And he was... having a difficulty in his family. He had a brother who was frankly dying, and wasn't sure when, you know, the day was going to come that he might have to be called away. And so he asked me to step in kind of as a pinch hitter.
Okay.
And we weren't sure how it was going to go, whether he would do half of it and I would do half of it, or we would do it together, or how it was going to unfold. But we just agreed that we would never openly disagree, that if we had debates about things, which we did.
Right. I was just going to say, because I know you, Ron, and that's saying something.
let me tell you, and when you get to know Bjorn, you'll see he's the same guy.
Right.
We're both really strong personalities.
And passionate, yeah.
Really strong opinions. But we just made a determination that we wouldn't let that get in the way.
Right.
And 9 times out of 10, we agreed on what needed to be done. If one of us had a different idea, one day he would say, okay, you take this one, and the next day I'd take the next one. And that's kind of how it went.
Well,
The other great advantage of having two directors is that Room Service is the kind of show with 12 actors in it and 14 characters that's almost like a musical. And staging requirements are such that having a guy like Bjorn, who has a background with the great fight director B.H. Barry, anyone in the theater knows who that is, he is a skilled fight coordinator. And so in at times, he was dealing with some of the staging aspects, and that allowed me to observe and get to other things.
Right.
So it was a little bit of dividing the labor in some instances.
Like you were shooting a film almost.
Exactly.
And
it was so valuable. And I think, at least according to the actors, it worked out well.
Well, not only according to the actors, but according to those of us who have seen it and those that have read the LA Times review, where it's just been staggeringly received. It's a fantastic production. Bjorn, do you echo Ron's thoughts about working with Ron like he echoes working with you?
Yeah, very much so. I guess the only thing I would add to it is I think Ron's being a little modest insofar as how we went into it, maybe trying to be deferential or something. But really, when the opportunity presented itself and the need to have someone there in case that I would have to get up and run, and I called Ron because we know each other's work. We've never worked directly together, but we've been around each other a lot, and I thought he'd be a perfect fit for this. And when he came in, I just said to him, let's just do this like good parents. If the kids ask you for the keys to the car and you say no, they can't come and get me to say yes.
Gotcha.
So we just agreed to back each other up that way, and we just jumped in all 4 feet at once, and it wasn't very formal. He finished my sentences, I would complete some of his thoughts, we would defer to each other entirely. It was very informal, because we have a similar commitment to the work and I think very similar tastes. Mm-hmm. And we're both ham bones. It worked out pretty well.
I also think that because we were both actors and both had some experience doing comedies,
right,
that we could jump in. When you're doing Waver Theater, the rehearsal schedules are usually nights and weekends, and a lot of people have regular jobs during the day. So, as Bjorn says, doing a production in Waver Theater is like herding cats.
Herding, that's H-E-R-D, not H-U-R-D.
That's right. So sometimes, one of us or both of us would have to read in roles of the actors that were absent, and we did a lot of that.
Well, you had to go up recently, didn't you?
Well, both of us have. There was one night a couple weeks ago, one of the actors who plays two roles was shooting a Law & Order Los Angeles. Bjorn did one of the roles, and I did the other. And then just this past Saturday night, one of our there's a flu bug running through the company, and three or four of the actors are down with it, and one of our actors just could not go on Saturday night, and I went on and played Sasha, the Russian waiter, with Bjorn's great help getting me up on it.
Now, did you have the two of you performed together as actors before this?
We never have.
You never have?
No, no.
We never have, no. Yeah.
And I hope
although we've seen each other for quite a bit.
Yes, we have.
Bjorn, are you talking to us on a cell phone or are you on a hardline phone?
I'm on a hard line. How am I doing?
Oh no, you're doing okay. We're getting some cool sort of like Sid Caesar sound effects out of you. We don't know exactly what it is, but we're getting some bells and whistles. But what we'll do is we'll throw in a couple of these things, and then no one will know if it's you or not. So anyway, let's stray from Room Service for a minute because I want to talk to Ron about his career and the recent things that you did. There was a TV thing you just did recently.
Oh, I did a medium.
You did a medium.
Yeah.
See, I did a large.
No. But you. Oh. And again, you're late with the rim shot.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Come
would
on.
You, would you set me up again?
Work with me, people.
Would you set me up again?
Oh, you want it again?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I just did a medium,
you know,
Paul.
I did a large. Okay.
Much better.
Thank you. Thank you.
Lord.
You know, Paul and I have actually worked together.
We have.
No, yes.
In the aforementioned porn industry that you said you hadn't.
Oh, that went out over the air now.
We
you
did
know, I have a wife, Paul. Yeah. Come on. Yes. It's Valentine's Day.
And would you like to buy a picture of her ass?
Oh, no.
Memorializemyass.com.
Yes.
We're doing ads for them now, as we did in the beginning.
Good Lord.
The Laughter on the 23rd Floor.
Yes.
Ron and I did Laughter on the 23rd Floor. Was it 92 we did it?
94.
Was it 94?
Yes.
Okay. Great play. You familiar with it, Michael?
Someone, yeah. Yeah. I never saw it, but I read it.
Speaking of Sid Caesar, writer's room, and Ron was Max Prince, who's a thinly veiled Sid Caesar character, and I was Kenny, who was pretty much Larry Gelbart,
right.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, that's
Larry
right.
Gelbart's character.
Yeah.
They needed a boy of genius. So they hired me.
Yeah. Well, we did what we could.
Oh, yes. Well, it was Chicago. Chicago.
Ron, you were telling us before we started the show about so many some wonderful experiences you've had in theater that went kind of goofy, crazy, but were nevertheless wonderful experiences, right?
Yeah, well, Laughter was my Broadway debut.
Right.
And
you're with Nathan Lane. Right?
I was, yes. Yeah. I was hired as an understudy originally to cover Nathan and Paul Provenza, the comedian, who was hired to play Ira, the character based on Mel Brooks, the hypochondriac. And 3 days into my employ, Paul was dismissed for artistic reasons. I won't go into that. I think Paul's a wonderful actor and performer, by
Very
the way.
Very funny. Great show on Showtime, too. His
that
The Green Room.
Green Room, great. Yeah. And, of course, Aristocrats, which he produced, which was wonderful. in any case, I was thrown up there and opened the show at Duke University, where we did the out-of-town tryout. And at the end of that week, Jerry Zaks, the director, told me that they wanted me to open it on Broadway. And I was amazed, and it was sort of I call it my Ruby Keeler moment. Most people don't know what that means that are not of a certain age.
Sadly, we all do.
But, it was a wonderful experience to be on Broadway and to play that role and all that. And then, of course, I went on to open the show at Jerry's recommendation in the starring role in Chicago, which is where I met Paul. And
actually also Scott Lowell, who's been on our show before.
Yes,
we love Scott. On Queer as Folk.
Exactly.
Great actor, very funny guy, lovely gentleman, was in that cast as well.
Right. And so the funny bookend story, this is a nice segue actually to that, is I played a character based on Mel Brooks in 1993 and 94. And then in the year 2000, I was cast by Mel Brooks in The Producers in the role of Franz Liebkin, the Nazi playwright, and then somewhat famously blew my knee out in out of town in Chicago, and was replaced by Brad Oscar, who went on to get my Tony nomination.
Get nominated for your Tony.
As I like to say.
Yes.
God bless Brad, wherever he is. I mean that. Oh, honestly.
The most sincere way.
Bjorn, did you know he was this bitchy? Bjorn, are you still...
I was going to ask him what happened so he could say, I didn't get it.
So you didn't have any of that angst. Oh, that's... We actually do want to talk about that. I want to hear about that because you told us before the show about something very interesting, this performance of Fired, which I think is very intriguing. But I do want to... Before we forget, and while we have Bjorn on the phone, I want to get all of the stats out about... before we go back to Ron, to get all the stats out about Open Fist. Do you have those stats readily available, Michael? But if you don't, I can at least kick it off with the fact that
they are
extended by popular demand now through March 26th. This is the LA Times Critics' Choice and the LA Weekly Go production of Open Fist Theater Company's Room Service. And we have that material right here. And let me see. Yes, that is at tickets available at openfist.org. And you could call 323-882-6912. Bjorn, anything to add to these instructions for people who want to come see the show?
Well, let me mention that the Open Fist Theater Company is located on Santa Monica Boulevard, just east of Vine, at the corner of El Centro, next door to the Lounge Theater that people are aware of as well.
Oh, yeah, there's a couple of little storefronts there.
Mm-hmm.
But the Open Fist is a
beautiful
venue. Monica and I walked in. We didn't expect a nice lobby. It's a nice venue. Mm-hmm. Have you seen anything?
No, yet? I haven't. I've seen the lounge, but I've not seen that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So make sure we get all that. Phone number again, 323-882-6912, and that's openfist.org. Bjorn, would you stay with us for the rest of the time?
I'd be delighted.
Please stay there. Stay with us if you would.
And Bjorn, this is Michael Sterling. Congratulations on these extraordinary reviews that you've been getting. I was reading the Los Angeles Times review before we started the show today. Wow, that's big time.
Of course, we don't believe the good ones, so we don't have to believe the bad ones. But it's delightful to get noted that people encouraged to come.
I disagree with that. I only believe the good ones. That's the way I roll.
And as soon as Ron gets one, he's going to believe it. I'm joking, of course. We're almost wrapping up the hour. We've got about 7 minutes left. Yeah. Do you think it's time for inauguration, Michael?
Sure, I think so. I think so. Now, this is something, gentlemen, that we do with every guest that comes into the studio, and it's kind of your baptism, if you will, for State of the Arts, and it's to tell about your, and Bjorn, start thinking there, because we're going to get you too. So it's to recall your worst moment in performance in the theater.
Wow.
We're going to start
and
with
remember
you,
that where there's no FCC, you know, we're internet, so say whatever you like.
Well, I'm going to, this is a moment that was agony became a victory kind of a thing. Right. You know, I've had a number of times where I've gone up or, you know, a door didn't open or, you know, we've all had those things happen. And those can be certainly embarrassing. But I was playing Pseudolus in Forum. And for those of you that know that show, it's a kind of a stand-up comedian's role. It was originated by Zero Mostel. Nathan Lane has played it. Whoopi Goldberg, Phil Silvers, lots of people like that. We approached this show like we're going to just hew to the script and there's going to be no ad-libbing. And I said, yeah, that's good because I'm not an improv comedy guy like Paul or I don't do stand-up. I'm going to be just a good actor and trust Larry Gelbart's. Mm. And that funny Larry Gelbart wrote that script.
George Abbott.
Yeah, and George Abbott, right. And so I did. And I was kind of sucked for a few weeks. I was okay. I mean, I was doing the show, but it wasn't, I could feel that there was something missing. And then one night, the actor playing Milos Gloriosus, who is the big hero in the play, probably a part you've played, Davis, right? You have?
No.
You haven't? You should have.
I was a eunuch, whatever you call it.
Oh, you were a eunuch? Okay. Yeah, you were a protean. Yeah. There's a moment where he's been talked about for almost the whole act where he's going to be coming on, and the courtesans are all posed for him, and then the soldiers march in, and he says, "Stand aside, everyone. I take large steps." And so we're waiting for that line, and it doesn't come. And I'm on far stage left. He's supposed to enter from stage right. And the soldiers are standing there. And I suddenly realize with terror and horror that there's no one who can do anything about this except me. Because Pseudolus always talks to the audience and he's their liaison. Right. So I sort of saunter across the stage toward the soldiers. And I take a look at the soldiers. And then I look back to the courtesans and I say, "Well, these sure are some good-looking soldiers." The audience explodes with laughter. And then he still doesn't come out. And so then I said, it was a matinee. I said, "Is he coming anytime soon?" And I looked at the watch that I didn't have on and said, "Because we don't have a lot of time." And another explosive laugh. And finally he came rushing in, no helmet, no sword. And we sort of kerfuffled our way into the play. But the point was, I learned from that. That Pseudolus needs to ad-lib. he needs to start ad-libbing right at the top of the show and look for those places.
And that's when you clicked.
And from then on, I really learned the right way to play that role.
Right. So it was born of a
yes,
problem.
Born of necessity.
Davis Gaines.
All right.
You are next.
Well, I have two little ones, two kind of related stories. But the first one was during Phantom on Broadway. Before I played Phantom, I played Raoul, the boyfriend part, opposite at the time Rebecca Luker was the lovely Christine.
Mm-hmm.
So
I got food poisoning. I ate something. It was a matinee day, and I ate something happened between shows. I don't know what, but
That's my ultimate nightmare. That's my ultimate nightmare.
So sick. So Rebecca probably has her own version of this story, but mine is that we get out to the show. We get up to the rooftop to sing All I Ask of You, and I could not. I had to leave the stage. So I left Rebecca alone on the roof. For the whole song. She did the whole thing by herself, the whole duet. She just, you know, turned around in her dress and sang her part, and then sang her part, and I never came back. I never came back. So
what was the name of the song?
All I Ask of You, the big duet from
All
Phantom.
I Ask of You is some Metamucil.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Oh, so that was that. That was a horrible story.
Oh, jeez.
Never made it back. And then... The first role I played after Phantom was Bobby and Company in Boston, and you know during Phantom I have my breaks. I drink a lot of water during the show, and I know when I can drink, and I drink before the show, and every time I go off I pee, and you know it's all set, it's all right. Mapped out. Well, I just thought that was I could do the same thing with Bobby. Well, Bobby, he directed it where I never left the stage for 2.5 hours. Yeah. So in previews, I was drinking my water, and all of a sudden, during the middle of another 100 people, that poor girl was just singing away, and I said, I got to go pee. So I just left, and I was, I need a bucket. And so stagehands are like, what's wrong with this guy? So I grabbed the closest thing and peed in the bucket and then went back on stage.
Oh my god!
I mean, it's something. I think that's embarrassing.
No, yeah. No, I tell you,
you're right.
That is such
pee
a
in a bucket.
Yeah, well, yeah. Whatever. I don't care. I was just gonna had to go.
What are you gonna do?
Be in a puddle on the middle of the stage.
Bjorn, have you ever peed in a bucket on stage?
I was gonna say Davis got off and. The train, apparently.
I'm sorry. Say that again. You're popping in and out.
He was one of the.
His incident happened during that number, and he. Actually had to get off of the train like the
There you go. Perfect. Yes. Just taking it literally.
It would have been really funny and clever if it hadn't broken up, but take my word for it.
I just want to say that, Bjorn, you don't realize that you're doing this, but you're doing a wonderful advertisement for the King's Speech. Because you just got this sort of like, lady.
Maybe it was a very...
It's frustrating because I've got like the little... curly wire coming out of the bottom of my phone. It's so old school, it should be good.
There were definitely a few Jerry moments in there.
Yes, we do. I just want to say that.
Lady!
As you know, Paul. Foster Brooks has joined us.
Paul, can I interject one thing? It's not anything about myself, but about one of our guests. And it wasn't a horror story for her accepting being in the studio with us. And that was the fact she was sitting right where you were sitting. Carol Lawrence.
Our first guest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, is Italian. She speaks with the hands. And one of our rules, that's where the gesticulation rule came from.
Yeah.
And she had her bottle of water right where yours is, Davis. And the top was off. And she was talking with her hands. And that bottle went all over her. And she never missed a beat. And she finished the entire hour with us. Got up, and then she was sitting in a pool of water. And she doesn't go anywhere unless she's dressed to the nines.
So right.
Then this gorgeous outfit, and never once complained.
No.
She never said anything about it.
What a trooper.
Amazing.
She said, no, she did say, but she said, she goes, I just spilled my water. How refreshing.
Yes.
And she's sitting in a puddle of water for the whole hour.
I just spilled my water.
How refreshing.
Wow.
Nice.
Well, let's give one more final plug to these two productions so that we can let people know how and when to get to them. Do you have let me start with Room Service, and you can tell about Davis's again. Room Service at the Open Fist Theater, openfist.org, extended now through March 26th. Tickets available at 323-882-6912. And I'm just going to, while we're talking about Room Service, say goodbye to Bjorn. Thank you for joining us on the phone.
My great pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bjorn.
Thanks, Bjorn.
thank you, Jerry.
My great pleasure.
And ladies and gentlemen, music of the night and evening with Davis Gaines, which will benefit SOS Mentor in the fight against childhood obesity, Saturday, February 19th at 8 p.m. at the Alex Theater in Glendale. For tickets, visit the Alex Theater's website, alextheater.org, or call 818-243-2539. Gentlemen, what a pleasure to have you in studio.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks so much. This is so much fun.
And before, who do, can we say anyone about in the coming weeks who we have? I know we got a couple people on the dance card. We got Jim J. Bullock.
Yes, we have Jim coming up.
We got Suzanne Wong, the lovely and filthy Suzanne Wong, who I love. Suzanne Wang, who I love.
Wong.
No, Wang.
I don't know.
We'll have her decide it when she gets here. And who's next week? Who do
Rita
we have?
McKenzie.
Rita
She's
McKenzie.
Touring the country with Ethel Merman's Broadway.
Yes.
She's getting ready to open here in Los Angeles.
Davis, Ron, thank you both.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Michael.
We will see you both next week on... We'll see you all next week on State of the Arts.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.